The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Full Macca there at 13 minutes to 10 o'clock. In the 1950s, you might probably know about a musical craze swept England called skiffle. And skiffle was something that prompted teenagers who had never thought about being in a band to form a band. And Rod Davis was one such teenager who joined a band called the Quarrymen. And there was another member of that band you probably heard of. His name was John Lennon. And he'd go on to enjoy a reasonable amount of success with the Beatles. But Rod is still playing music, very much so. And he's here with us this morning to talk to us about all of that and more besides. Rod, welcome and thank you for coming in to see us today. There's a theme... running through the programme today, which is about those who've returned. So we spoke to our last guest, whose father was born in Roscommon. Tell me about your Irish credentials.
My Irish credentials? Well, I recently got my Irish passport.
I'd say you did, you and everyone else.
Well, my dad was born in the Rotunda Hospital in 1909. My sister lives over here. She's got an Irish passport. My brother has an Irish passport.
So
my left leg, I think, is Irish.
Okay, probably. You're going to claim it.
We have got connections, yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Well, they're deep connections, in fairness.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. My grandmother, who lived actually a couple of hundred yards from the roundabout in Penny Lane, was very Irish, yeah. So no problem about the Irish connection. The other three quarters are Welsh, Davis, Jones and Edwards. Think about that, doing your family history, you know. So the Irish bit is easier.
Classic Welsh names.
Absolutely.
And nothing wrong with that. Was there Irish music in the house as a child?
Well, my mum and dad both played the violin. The violin generally won. And my dad's ambition was to play the Irish washwoman without making any mistakes. But the Irish washwoman always seemed to win, you know?
And yourself then, music-wise, who formed the Quarrymen?
Well, we were all inspired by Lonnie Donegan, Rock Island Line, which came out, I think, November 55.
Yeah.
And I pestered my mum and dad for a banjo or a guitar, and I had an uncle who played in a dance band in North Wales pre-war. He played the violin and the saw. He doubled on saw.
Yeah.
And his brother-in-law was the banjo and guitar player. So by the time we found out that the two instruments were being sold, the guitar had gone, so I ended up with a banjo, which didn't bother me because Donegan played banjo and guitar. And I turned up in school and said to a friend of mine, this was Quarry Bank School, I got a banjo yesterday, Eric. So he said, oh, do you want to be in a group? I said, well, who's in it? Because it was always a group. It was never a band. And he said, himself on guitar, Pete Shotton on a washboard, a guy called Bill Smith on the T-chest bass, and John Lennon on guitar. And they were all in the same year as me as school. So I said, yeah, okay, that's fine. They knew I couldn't play it because I'd only bought it the day before, you know. But
it was enough to get you in the band.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, when you're playing a banjo, it's tuned in open G anyway, so you don't even have to put your fingers on to get the first chord, and only needed two more. So it was not exactly rocket science.
So you're about 16, 17 years old.
Oh no, 14.
Or younger 14, again.
Yeah.
And what did you know in the school about this John Lennon chap?
Well, I'd first met John when I was probably about 5 years old. In Sunday school, St. Peter's Sunday School, my mum and dad obviously wanted a peaceful Sunday afternoon, so they packed me off. And in the same class was Pete Shotton, who became John's best friend, Nigel Wally, who introduced Paul McCartney to John, Jeff Rind, who took the famous photograph, Barbara Baker, who was John's girlfriend for a time, and Ivan Vaughan.
Oh,
yes. We were all in the same Sunday school class, and then John appeared one Sunday afternoon, and that was that. He lived on the other side of the hill from me, so I didn't get to know him particularly well because I was only, you know, 5 or 6 years old. And then at 11, we both ended up at the same school in the same year and in the same house. So that's how I got to know him, really.
And did he have a good reputation as a student at the school?
I'm sure that's an ironic question. No, he was a pain in the proverbial, I think, for most teachers. He was what you would call a disruptive pupil.
Yes.
He didn't give a damn for anybody or anything, especially discipline. Some of the things he did were absolutely brilliantly funny, and others were just, you know, time-wasting, you know.
So he started as he meant to continue, essentially, in life.
Apparently so, apparently so.
There was an awful sadness to him, and you were kind of there in the middle of it, in the sense that his mother, he lived with his Aunt Mimi, and his mother lived nearby, Julia. The film Nowhere Man actually represents this side of this element of the story very well. Were you in either of those houses growing up?
We used to go to Julia's house to practice, and she was very encouraging. And we practiced in a number of different places, but we used to go to Julia's house, and she would let us practice in the bathroom because we had no amplifiers. We didn't have anything except our own instruments, you know, no microphones. And the best place to hear your voice is bouncing off the tiles in the bathroom. And I've spoken to John's half-sister, Julia, and she said she remembers being in the bath with her sister, with her little sister, and her mum saying, come on, out you get, the quarrymen want to practice. Now, I don't remember that happened when I was there necessarily.
Yes.
But she was very good, whereas Mimi's, I only remember practicing there once.
Yes.
That was the one time I met Paul. So it was, you know, a bunch of kids having fun, basically.
Of course,
you know?
Of course.
Nothing more than that.
But that was the seminal moment for many, for so much in musical history. It was when John met Paul. It's nearly a book title in it, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah.
And you were kind of going to pursue your education, I think, at that point. And
well, the problem was, as a banjo player, you can't be in a rock and roll group. You don't do much for the image of the rock and roll group. And to be honest, I couldn't stand rock and roll at the time. I thought it was cheap, trite, exploitative, etc. I've changed my opinion since then.
Yeah.
But maybe there was more than a grain of truth in it. But I was much more interested in the sort of American roots music aspect of the skiffle repertoire, you know?
Right, like bluegrass type thing.
Well, yes, that kind of thing, you know. Everything from Midnight Special to all the songs about trains and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
And so I wasn't desperately bothered because all the rest of the Quarrymen were dead keen on rock and roll. Len Gary was dead keen on Elvis, you know.
Yes.
And I thought Elvis was a bit of a twit, his little twitch in his
his lip. His lip.
And you know, I've revised my opinion since.
There've been a number of revisions in your take. So I suppose, Rod, when the Quarrymen evolved into the Beatles, if you want to call it an evolution, and when they started becoming insanely successful down through the 60s, did you look at them wistfully and think, I could have been there? Or did you look at them and think, I was never going to be there, but isn't that amazing?
Well, the great thing was that a band from Liverpool had gone down to London and shown them how it was done.
Good.
Really.
Oh, so you had Liverpudlian pride?
Oh, I'm afraid so.
No,
yeah,
that's
because
wrong with that.
The whole music scene in England, really, the music scene, the big music scene, was controlled from London. And to have a bunch of guys from Liverpool, with whom I used to play, or one of them I used to play with at one time, to go down and give them socks was just fantastic. I never really wanted to be a Beatle, and the more you read about it, you realise that they were riding a tiger, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And, of course, you know, both John and George suffered from riding the tiger, and it's the prison of fame, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so well, for sure.
I'm not complaining.
Interesting, very interesting take looking back. Rod, you're playing the new venue, Lost Lane, which is off Grafton Street. You're playing this Sunday. Doors open at 3 p.m. That sounds like a great show, which would have stories and slideshows and performance of songs that you played with the Quarrymen. John Ward supporting you with acoustic Beatle covers. Tickets available at originalquarrymen.co.uk or lostlane.ie. So that'll be a beautiful way to spend a Sunday afternoon. And good luck with it, Rod. Thanks for coming in to see us today.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward to spending a Sunday afternoon there myself.
It sounds good. Thank you for your time.